Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad that you're here with us today. Tomorrow is the big debate. We're all excited about that. We have Biden Bingo ready to roll, which we actually have in our pocket anytime it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys both play Biden Bingo on the State of the Union?
Yeah.
Did we watch that at my house?
Yeah, we were at your house doing it.
Okay. It was very memorable. Thank you for being there.
You're welcome. Glad we made an impact.
Oh, man. That seems like forever ago.
It really does.
And it was just March, wasn't it?
Did we watch it in the basement or upstairs?
No, it was upstairs.
Upstairs that time. Did we sit in a row in my... Did we like sit all next to each other?
A little modified L shape. There, you and Ryan sat next to one another, and then I was kind of off
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I remember that a little bit more. We played Biden Bingo then, and it was a lot of fun. I think we had like 350-plus people playing, and it was popping. So I've got the link up right now for you to secure your card. I have 500 cards available, and we're going to have cards for the people who did manage to get into the Debate Watch Party at Dave & Buster's tomorrow night. We'll have cards printed for you to play there if you're picking them up there. But if you want to play digitally with us as well, you got to reserve your card. The link is in the description of today's live broadcast on YouTube. So if you find our YouTube video, the link is there. I will put it out later, but I'm just giving those people a little bit of a heads up. I want to make sure that I could tweet it out, but then people who've never listened to my show but follow me on Twitter might scoop up the cards, and I don't want that to happen. I want to give you guys the opportunity to do it first. So the Annie Fry YouTube channel, today's live broadcast, the one going on right now, the link is right there that you can click on or copy and paste, and all you need to do is put your email address in to reserve one. We've got 50 cards gone right now, and I expect them to continue to mount, especially the closer we get to the debate. I will open it up to more people. We'll make a Trump card too. Probably going to complete that tonight, and I will release that a little bit later. We're going to get the Biden ones out of the way first. I want to ask you guys, and we can monitor the chat as well, the questions that we have regarding the debate. We're going to have some questions answered tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about what's your policy on the open border. I'm talking about, you know, namely, kind of like a scorecard of how at the end of the debate, we're going to say, well, we had this question. This is our answer. The first one to me, I think, is obviously, can Joe Biden successfully complete the debate? What an incredibly low bar. But isn't that the question?
It's amazing because I'm making some materials for the debate. I mean, this is a big deal. Like, we're doing a grand Battle Hawks type open for the debate and everything. So we're making some stuff. I've been pulling clips, Annie, from his entire presidency and even before. And you can tell such a difference listening from 2020 to now. I mean, he has lots of gaffes back then.
Yeah.
And some of his most famous ones are from then. But listening to him talk now, it makes me really wonder, even compared to 3 months ago, whether he's capable at this moment of getting through an hour and a half with no script.
But that can't be a victory. I mean, he's the president of the United States. To be able to go an hour and a half with no script at a debate cannot be the bar. Like,
it is the bar.
It is the bar, and it's unfortunate that people are okay with that. I don't know. Ryan, we talked about this a little bit off air. The win for conservatives isn't just Biden getting through this. It's Biden being middle of the road and Trump having a good debate. Because what that ends up doing is that thwarts what Annie says might be the plan here, is if Biden has a really bad debate, it gives the DNC cover to remove him.
There's a big difference between, gosh, I don't think Joe Biden's going to be able to beat Trump in November. We should swap him out. That looks a lot different than Joe Biden can't make it through 90 minutes of a debate.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it would be easier for the Democrat Party to do what they need to do ultimately to win, because I think that's the only thing that matters. If Joe Biden falls flat on his face, figuratively, at the debate.
We went out to eat with some couples last night that my wife works with, and they have kids that are all about the same age as ours. And we were at like an arcade type place, so we were able to let them just go play games, and we sat around and talked. The first thing they all wanted to talk about was, okay, what's really going to happen in this debate? People are paying attention, And I keep coming back to the thing that you said before, and you know, I think others have mentioned that I don't know that I would have put this together day one, because that is what you did. You said when they put this debate so early, June 27th, that is really unprecedented for a debate to be that early before the candidates have even gone through their nominating convention. Well, there's got to be a reason for that. And it has to be exactly what the speculation is. Can he get through it? Because if he can't, they haven't had the nominating convention yet, so they could still do something about it.
What other questions do we have now that we will have answered by the time the debate is over? I think the next one that I have is, can Trump, I don't know the correct way to say it per se, to write it down, but I want to know if Trump is interested in expanding his base. Is Trump going to be the angry combative? What I would say kind of sums up in his vengeful nature. Because does Donald Trump want revenge? Of course he does. He wants revenge in the sense that he wants to be the president again. Now, a lot of people will say that and take it to the nth degree and suggest that it's something nefarious. I think, and he has said this in his own words, and I believe him when he says this, that his revenge will be summed up in his reelection and the success of his administration. That's the revenge he wants. He's got to figure out a way to say that. And I really think that he has to steer clear and watch Jake Tapper ask this question. Mark the tape, 2:14 on Wednesday when I suggest this. Donald Trump, you have suggested that on day one you would be a dictator. Do you intend to be a dictator should you win this next election? Because they want to remind people that he said that. The point of that question is that Donald Trump said that he would be a dictator on day one. When Donald Trump gets the opportunity to answer that question, the Trump way of answering it is, yeah, I said I'd be a dictator on day one because I was going to do this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, and this thing. And then like the fourth or fifth paragraph of what he says is the explanation that none of those things are actually what dictators do. He was just going to go through a slew of executive orders exactly like Joe Biden did on day one, exactly like Donald Trump did on day one of his first term, exactly like a Barack Obama had done. That's what he was going to engage in. You've got the executive authority to do things. Donald Trump is coherent enough to understand executive authority as opposed to Joe Biden that has selective memory when it comes to understanding the executive authority he has when it comes to buying votes through forgiving student loans, but can't figure out how to find his hands from his butt when it comes to figuring out how to close the southern border through executive authority. And then he does it and he says, well, the Republicans in the House weren't willing to do what they needed to do, so I had to take action. Well, no sugar, Sherlock. You could have done that from day one. But he knows that, or he doesn't, but whoever is making the decisions does. I really, really, really want to see, and I know that it's not what we're going to see. I will fall off my chair with glee if Donald Trump comes out of this debate intentionally charming and not combative.
Mm-hmm.
I want the debate. I want the question that we answer at the end of the debate. I want the story to be Joe Biden's story. And if the story is that Joe Biden was successfully able to complete 90 minutes of a debate, and that's his win, that he did it. Like, the people are like, don't set the bar too low. The bar is incredibly low. The bar is in the basement where Joe Biden campaigned from. And if the story at the end is that he made it through just fine through the debate, he's not going to not look like he did at the State of the Union. When you watched him speak at the State of the Union, you literally would sit back in your chair because it felt so aggressive coming from the microphone. And the second that he went off script, he started saying stupid stuff and the wrong words. That'll happen again. But they'll say he was so full of energy. He has such a passion for this country. And you could just see it really come through with the preparation. He knows what this country needs. And he brought the energy tonight to do it. Yeah, but his policies suck. And his administration has been a failure. If the story after the debate is a non-story, then the story continues to be Joe Biden's time as administrator. And that's a loss for him. If Donald Trump takes that away and has to possess it and tries to, you know, land the final haymaker blow on Joe Biden to take him out, which is completely unnecessary. Was it Muhammad Ali that would just go as many rounds as necessary until his opponent was tired?
It's the rope-a-dope.
The rope-a-dope, exactly. That's what we're doing here. Let Joe Biden tire himself out. And the final punch here is your policy and the fact that you are not who they've made you out to be on the left. And this is the opportunity to correct that surface. It's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen, but it's what I want. And right now I can still want it.
Yeah, it's the beginning of the season. You're always optimistic about your team before the games start. You're exactly right, though, because the best that Trump can do, in my opinion, is to come out and try to do those things. He will not be able to stop himself from landing some blows. He'll get worked up. He'll get, you know, full of energy, full of testosterone, and start really...
Energy and testosterone.
And start fighting. Yeah. Maybe he's got a copper hose. If you just tuned in, you're like, what?
You want to see the hose? It's in my pocket.
It's in your winter coat. Listen to the last segment. Get the podcast to know what we're talking about.
Or but don't.
I don't think that
you could pass.
I don't think he can do it. I think he can try. I think he can come out a little bit soft, come out like he's trying to be the palatable version of Trump, but he will at some point get worked up.
Landing blows is okay, but they have to be blows that make you look at Biden's administration, Biden himself, not like trying to say that he was gypped or ripped off or cheated or whatever out of his election. He needs to. I don't think he should even go after Hunter.
Who? Trump?
Trump. I don't think so. I think that
there's no reason to.
No,
Hunter is it the red herring? Am I saying this right in script writing?
Yes, yes, yes.
I was never in the industry even.
It's incredible.
Thank you.
It's really amazing. But
this might be the first time I've impressed Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be the moment.
My phone just blew up.
Yeah.
From industry people. They were like, what did she just
do? Did she just say red hair?
They're like, get me Annie's number.
Yeah.
She's like, is she represented by anybody?
No, just my kids.
But the other question, and this is kind of a side question that I would like to see answered, is how much are they going to use, and not even Biden so much, but the moderators, how much are they going to focus on the felon stuff? Are they going to make that try to stick and be the new thing? Because I haven't really seen that stick that much to him yet, but this could be an opportunity for them to test it.
For what to stick?
The label of felon. I think they're trying.
What's the question? I'm writing these down.
Will they be able to successfully brand him that way throughout? Are they going to try?
So how about who wins the convicted felon talking point?
Sure.
Okay. Anything off the top of your head, Brad, that you're really kind of waiting to see? Well, Friday on our show, we got Joe DeVito. Is he in studio?
Yes, he's in studio.
Joe DeVito in studio on Friday. Will be fun to get his reaction. I hope he watches. Does he have a show Thursday night at 8 o'clock?
He does.
We'll inform him when he comes in. Everything you need to know, you can find out right here.
So what I want, man, is there any pressing questions that I want answered? I want to see if, and I think you guys have mentioned this, I want to see if Donald Trump can just deflect the attacks that we know, because I know Joe Biden's going to call him the convicted felon. I want to see him be able to deflect from that.
I don't know that he is.
I wonder. That's a big question for me.
I don't think that it's automatic.
I would say I think it is. And I can't. As much as I see people talking about it, as far as seeing talking heads on the news, seeing people on Twitter, that's the very much they want to point. He is a 34 counts convicted felon. They want that to stick. The thing is Donald Trump made the mugshot cool. You know, the mugs with mugshots, shirts.
He sure monetized it.
Yeah, he did. And I think that maybe they might misplay their hand here and the convicted felon might be the new deplorables.
I'd like to see the Trump campaign, before the debate starts, ask people to go onto Donald Trump's campaign website and donate a quantity per time convicted felon is mentioned. So you could donate $1. If they say it 30 times, you owe $30. But for every time Joe Biden or Jake Tapper or Dana Bash says convicted felon, cha-ching.
I don't know if that's...
I would donate to that.
I mean, it's a great strategy. Is that going to be what they try to hang their hat on, though? Or is Joe Biden... Because I can see Joe Biden doing this, too. Really going all in on he is not... Like, democracy will fall apart if he's elected. And that being really his only message of the whole night.
Yeah.
That could be it.
I think the three main points of Joe Biden's debate is going to be convicted felon, not fit for threat to democracy, and then the last one is going to be take away your abortion rights.
Insurrectionist.
Yeah, all of that under the democracy's at stake banner for sure.
If Joe Biden says something about the insurrection, I think that Donald Trump should go immediately into pocket hose.
Me too. He should pull out a pocket hose.
Al Borland should be there.
Yeah.
He's the only person in the audience.
Playing Al Borland.
He should be the commercial break. It should be live.
They should go to him. Man.
Camera pivots.
he's right there.
He's like, have you seen my hose?
I love my hose.
Yeah, we know.
He's standing right behind Dana Bash.
Keep telling us. Joe Biden's like, hey, I like this guy.
Joe Biden would look so confused. He would be going, what the heck is going on? Like America, though. We would all be confused if that happened.
The amount of Botox that I think that Joe Biden is getting right now, he might not look that surprised.
No. He's going just to look perpetually. Always surprised. He's going to look no different. I love my host. What the heck? Richard Karn's behind me.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There's a tweet going around, and there's lots of different takes on it, as per usual on social media. And this guy tweets out, this lady just picked up her husband from the airport, kissed him, and immediately went to the passenger seat, LMAO. Thoughts, Ryan?
Good for her. Although when I'm coming home from a flight, I think I'm probably getting in the passenger seat just because I don't want to think anymore.
Beta.
However,
I only said that for him, Brad.
So amazing.
Yeah. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves.
Brad is.
Sounds like you are.
You guys kind of hope for the beta.
However, if we go pretty much anywhere, I almost always drive, unless there's some reason for me to not.
Because you're tired and soft.
Like when I came home from a business trip and I was looking to relax a little bit. Yeah, I'd say that would be one of them.
The only reason I'm joking about this specifically with you is because I believe it. But also, I don't ever, like, if I ever ask to drive, it's usually if we have a point A to point B that involves zero room for error. And it's from our home in Illinois to somewhere way far west that I have been before, that my husband hasn't been before, and I got to get there fast. And I just know it and need to get through it. And I drive that kind of highway traffic all the time. But out of if I'm doing a work event, out of 10 times that my husband comes with me, that happens like maybe once. The time is of the essence. Any other time, I am 100% in the passenger seat. And the whole time that I'm driving in that one out of 10 times, my husband is like not wanting to be seen by other men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
You feel that?
I do, but I got a question for you that I really need not only you to weigh in on, but I need like women and men to weigh in on this as well.
That covers it.
So anybody believe who's not an androgynous sex neuter, weigh in on this.
Excuse me? What a show. What a day.
Do you, or if you're a man, your wife, do women leave the car on empty every single time?
So what you're trying to do here is ask a sexist question softly.
Yeah, I'm not really trying. I'm having less trouble wording it with the sexism as I am trying to address both genders at once. Because I'm asking everybody this question.
The question you're asking is, do women intentionally leave the gas tank empty?
That is correct.
For you to fill as a man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I need reasons.
Is there a conversation that needs to happen after this, or you just wanted to know?
No,
yes,
there's already an ongoing conversation in my house. And my wife is... I actually walked out to the car last night because we were going out to eat. And I said, oh, the car is empty. You basic.
And she was like,
okay,
fill the car.
Hate that I am very typical in that way, but apparently I am. But my question is why? If it is a common thing, what is the reason? Is it just that, oh, I don't have to worry about it. I know he'll do it.
Stacy on Twitter says, no, my car, I fill the tank. I do fill the tank if it fits my schedule that day. So basically, if it's convenient for me.
But then it's got to fit our schedule, too. I mean, it's not always
convenient. Well, it will if you get in the car and you can't get to where you need to be.
Look, I'm living with those facts.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from, and I understand
that
fact.
Gentlemen, if the two of you pull into a gas station, if you were very masculinely sitting in the passenger seat when the gas station gets pulled into, would you sit in the car while she pumped the gas?
No.
Why not?
I always go out and get the gas. That's not even an
issue.
Well,
that's because that's the way it's supposed to be.
But when she's driving her car to school and doing other things that don't involve me, she never fills the car up until it gets to the point where she can't drive it anymore.
She does eventually, if necessary.
Yeah, eventually. But I mean, it is like riding the E as much as possible.
Here's the question I have for you in return on behalf of your wife, because she is my best friend. Why does it bother you to fill up the car for her?
It only bothers me when I get in her car because I have to drive it for whatever reason. And I'm in a hurry.
Why don't
you
drive your car?
I know that you weren't in a hurry 100% of the times you were driving
this. Are you driving her car because your car's on E?
No, never. Never.
Why are you driving her car and not yours?
I don't know. Whatever reason. We need to fit something in the SUV that can't fit in the other car. Whatever.
Seems just like a lame excuse.
Oh, no. I'm like giving you no opportunity to get in and like make fun of me. And you still got me. You're still getting me somehow. But there are very good reasons. I don't always remember what they are, but something like that.
Does she appreciate it when you put gas in her car?
No. She just thinks it's like, that's what you do. And I was like, is this really? Because I know that that's a meme.
Maybe.
Stereotype.
I have an idea. Maybe you should increase her allowance and she'll fill it herself.
I have, Annie.
Yeah, maybe she can't afford to fill it.
You're coming at me from every angle, but I got you.
Did you tell her that's why you increased her allowance?
No, but that is one of the reasons.
Something lost in communication there, I think.
No.
If you'd let your wife understand that the money, you said when she was driving to and from work?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to say that out loud and set that aside. So the allowance that you allow her to spend, if you didn't articulate to her that you gave her a raise, maybe it was like a cost of living increase, wasn't directly related to the idea that, you know what, I'd like it if you'd fill up the gas tank from every once in a while, then she just doesn't know, and you've got to be communicating that to her.
Are you saying that she's not smart enough to know that?
No, I think she's actually playing you like a fiddle.
No, I don't, because if I asked her and she goes, yeah, I'm just trying to get you to do it, I'd be like, okay, a little bit of respect there. But she doesn't. She says, I just don't think about it.
Do you fill it up for her?
Yeah, because I have to. I'm trying to go somewhere, not going to make it there, or at least I'm not going to tempt it. That's the thing. She is willing to tempt fate way beyond what I'm willing to do.
I think that you are thinking about this more than she's thinking about this, and that when the gas tank gets that low, it gets filled, and then it's good for her the next time she needs to use the car. Because, spoiler alert, Ryan is a gentleman.
These are all facts.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's upset about it, though.
Sounds like he
doesn't want to be.
I'm like, why is this so difficult to do?
Can I ask you a question just in general? Like, do you find...
I would like your opinion on
this. Do you find filling up the tank would be kind of... It's like a task? Like, not something that is, like, horrible, but you're just like, it's not a great thing.
When you're in a hurry, no. Oh. Otherwise, I don't care.
Okay. So, you love your wife, right?
Oh, great. Here we go.
And because you love your wife...
Rewind the tape to where I'd really like your opinion on this, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is that sacrificial love that the Bible's talking about.
Oh,
where it's
okay.
Like, it's the stuff you look at that you're like, man, I don't really like doing this, but if I don't like doing this, my wife's really not going to like to do this. So I'm going to do it so she doesn't have to.
Yeah, or she could just do it when she needs to instead of pushing it all the way to E.
Yeah, see, that's how annoying it is. Don't you love your wife?
I'll ask you this question. Is this an issue in your household?
It is not an issue in my household.
Are you kidding me?
Does Brad just take care of it every time?
It's a car.
Not every time, but yeah.
But it is a thing, though, right? It is a gender thing.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
A gender. You can't call it a gender thing if it's a norm that has existed because that's the way things shake out in your family.
No, that's what I'm asking, is if it's beyond my family. Is it everybody?
I think that it is easier to turn over anything that relates to the car to the man. But it's certainly not necessary. I have no problem. Where do we go to get oil? Valvoline?
We.
I actually go to Cassin's and get all my oil changes at Cassin's. If it's the way things naturally shake out, like in my household, my husband does most of the laundry. So that's not something you would traditionally say is a male role, but that's just kind of the way it shakes out. And he hates it. I hate it. Everybody hates laundry, but it has to be done. And it just works that's the way those chores are divvied out in our family. But I don't think that, especially in 2024, like, is laundry a female task or a male task? I still think more people would end up saying female, but I think the percentages would be much more even than they even were 10 or 20 years ago. I think filling up the tank, like, I never, ever think of filling up the gas tank as my husband's job. But I will say, I will get down to E, not E. I try to fill it up at a quarter tank, before it gets to a quarter tank now. But I also have to drive 50 miles a day to and from work. So you just protect yourself that way. If I get home and I know that the next time I get in the car, I'm going to need to fill up a tank, I will say to my husband, like, hey, if you're going to go to the store tonight, will you take the car and fill it up? And he's happy to do it for me because he loves me.
No.
He doesn't have any problem with it.
Last question on the topic, and real questions. When you fill it up, are you all the way, or are you just like, I'm going to put $20 in?
No.
What's $20 get you, a gallon?
All the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fill
it up. And for the record, I filled up my own tank of gas this morning.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Katie's doing that.
I felt like really masculine doing
it. I think she is just saying, I'm gonna stop it. $25 or whatever, because it's never full.
Well, it's because you won't increase her allowance.
I did. I just told you.
All she has left.
I did.
Yeah.
We did. Have we just had this discussion.
Have you factored in inflation to your wife's allowance?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we talk about inflation so much that my 7-year-old, now when we have to pay too much for something, goes, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going on in every family. Every family is having inflation discussions right now. I just don't know if they're all blaming Biden. I hope they are.
Cold on YouTube says, make me a sandwich now, woman. Oh, you've come to the right place, sir.
Cold is going to get a sandwich mailed to them.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be great when you get it if it has mayonnaise on it, but you'll have a sandwich.
Do you mind filling the tank for your wife, Brad?
No, not at all.
I love my wife tremendously, and that's why I do that.
That's the footnote on this conversation.
That's the name of this segment.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I just realized you hijacked that whole segment last time about your uncomfortableness of helping your wife not be stranded for running out of gas.
That's how I would phrase it.
Yeah. this post that was on social media says this lady just picked her husband up from the airport, kissed him, and immediately went to the passenger seat. LMAO. So they're laughing at the idea that a woman would drive to the airport, give her husband a kiss, and then be like, you drive. That is 100% what we would do in our vehicle. You said it would depend on how tired you were that day.
Mm-hmm.
Brad?
No, that's what we would do too. Terry would just give me a kiss. Move over to the passenger seat.
That's what I tried to do when Brad picked me up from the airport. He wouldn't let me do it. So
yeah, it was the kiss thing that I had a problem with.
Hey, Brad.
Letting him drive wasn't that bad.
You would never let Ryan drive.
You're right. You're right.
You'd be more likely okay with the kiss than letting him drive your car.
Like, what if I let you kiss me on the cheek? Then will you let me drive?
I thought I was driving for a good portion of that way home. And I thought, well, this car must be British or something because I'm sitting on this side, you know?
Press the horn.
This is when you came home from Japan.
And he was going, I'm like, wait a minute. This is a fake wheel. He tricked me. At least he let me kiss him.
All right, Brian. 6 years and counting. the YouTube live chat poll for today, which you can all hurry up and go get your vote in before we wrap it up here in about 7 minutes or so. It's a pretty resounding response. Is Joe Biden a good man? Yes or no? Brad, why don't you take this one first? Man, what do you think?
I struggled with this because I really want to think the best of people, but I can't get past how he treated Hunter Biden. Like, so I watched that special on Fox Nation, and as a parent, I was just looking at him saying, like, the way he talks about Bo, it was just obvious to me that he really treasured Bo Biden, and I couldn't help but look at Hunter Biden and see somebody who saw his dad praising his brother and feeling left out. You know, he left me whenever we were in the hospital to go be in the Senate, all of this other stuff, and everything that Hunter Biden has turned into. I just can't help but shake the feeling that it's because Joe Biden played favorites with his kids and really just wasn't there as a father. And I think as a father, no matter how hard you work, you got to be there for your kids. And so I end up voting no, he's not a good man.
Just like yesterday when we talked about Trump, we all approached it first from the biblical angle and say there is no one righteous, so you say no to that question. But when we said, okay, let's set that aside and just talk about sort of preference and what we think about the person, I said no to this question also because I'm basing it, you know, mostly on other people saying things about them, because I've never met either one of them. I don't know them personally, so I'm mainly looking at their policies to look at how they're affecting the country. And to me, one of the most compassionate things you can do is run things well if you're at the top. If you're running them well for everybody under you, that is a good thing to do. I don't think Joe Biden has done that well, and it's not just because he's losing his mind. I think it's because they have their priorities wrong. He has the wrong priorities for people and for the country. It is power-based. Therefore, I'm saying no to this question.
I think that's an interesting perspective. I'm trying to measure it in the same way that I measured it yesterday against Donald Trump. Because, you know, if I want Donald Trump to win the presidency, and I think being labeled a good man will help him win the presidency, the easy answer is like, yeah, he's a great man. He'd be great for looking.
Right.
But I mean, I understand that Donald Trump is a complicated person, and he's very public in his life. We know a lot about the things that he has involved himself in, indiscretions that he's had. And, you know, ironically, all of these indiscretions from a political sense, Democrats loved him when he was participating in a lot of these affairs and that type of stuff. Like, Democrats at the top were A-okay with it. They're just not A-okay with a Republican being okay with a broken person because they apply a standard that they don't apply to themselves to the person who's doing the judging and saying that Donald Trump is a good man. So I think the reason why I said yesterday that Trump, I believe, to be a good man is based on anecdotes from people who know him well and who know him behind the scenes. So there's all the front stuff, but for the people who know him behind the scenes, Will Scharf was in studio with us yesterday. And if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can see the video where he says, do I think Donald Trump is a good man? I think Donald Trump is a great man. And then he explains in his own personal experience why he believes that. I trust Will Scharf. I value his input, and I value the input of many other people who I've talked, and the story is consistent each time. There's a quote out there about Julian Assange that somebody said, why don't you dig up any dirt on Donald Trump? Have you ever seen this? He said there isn't.
So.
He said there isn't any.
Oh.
I would like to see the clip of that. I want to see it like from his in his own words and not in a meme to understand the veracity of it. I don't hear these same stories about Joe Biden. I don't hear these stories about generosity when it comes to Joe Biden, about compassion when it comes to Joe Biden. I hear about him not paying contractors who service his house. I've read on the Hunter Biden laptop text messages that have been exchanged or emails that have been exchanged where, to Brad's point, he has definite preferential treatment over his sons. And, you know, Hunter Biden's actions are going to affect the way a parent would react to the child, but it shouldn't really affect the way you feel about the child. I don't have much evidence that suggests that Joe Biden has ever been in anything if it wasn't to benefit himself. And there are two character traits that I have zero patience for. The first one is arrogance. And the second one is self-centeredness. When you're around people who very clearly everything that happens in their world, it's just about them. They never allow another person to be the important person in that conversation. They don't allow other people to have center stage. That everything inevitably always comes back to that one individual. And then when you're around them, you're treated to unending arrogance. I'm just like, without, like, the nicest thing I can do is just turn around and walk away and keep my facial expressions to myself. I'm just not interested in it. Maybe, I mean, I'm open to being wrong here, but I don't really see anybody who's just exhaustive on how good of a person Joe Biden is. And they really try to push how good of a caring father he is. And we have literal evidence that suggests otherwise. I mean, if the Ashley Biden diary was one of the Trump daughter's diary, it'd be gospel.
Oh, yeah. That is an absolute fact.
And we're just supposed to pretend it doesn't exist. The memory hole takes over. I mean, and that stuff is, I feel like it's godless. That all of it is godless. And when something feels godless, you have to remember there's always a God. It's either God or it's yourself. And that's the Joe Biden that I see. And again, I'd like to be wrong. I've said on this show many times that of all of the things that I disagree with Barack Obama, it seems like, and I know all the chit chat that's out there about these things today, the conspiracy theories, but it always seemed to me like Barack Obama was a loving father and a good father considering his high profile. And I think that Barack and Michelle seem to have a good marriage. And they've come out and said that they've had a lot of struggles, but a good marriage is not without struggles. I think Joe Biden is as shallow as they come, which is why I feel like the lack of memory Joe Biden that we see right now is a pretty empty vessel. Almost 300 votes in today's YouTube live chat poll. Is Joe Biden a good man? Yesterday we had, I think, 26% said Trump was not a good man. I think it was 26-74, 76-24. Today, we've got 273 votes in. 90% of you said no, he's not a good man. Tomorrow is debate day. If you go to the description on today's YouTube video live broadcast of the show, you'll be able to click and reserve your Biden bingo card. Especially for you folks here in St. Louis. We are excited to celebrate with you. If you aren't coming to the party, I'm going to put up the stream. Reserve your spot on the live stream. We'll be streaming it on the YouTube channel as well. Don't go away. Mark Reardon next.
Name of this segment.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I just realized you hijacked that whole segment last time about your uncomfortableness of helping your wife not be stranded for running out of gas.
That's how I would phrase it.
Yeah. This post that was on social media says this lady just picked her husband up from the airport, kissed him, and immediately went to the passenger seat. LMAO. So they're laughing at the idea that a woman would drive to the airport, give her husband a kiss, and then be like, you drive. That is 100% what we would do in our vehicle. You said it would depend on how tired you were that day. Brad?
No, that's what we would do too. Terry would just give me a kiss, move over to the passenger seat.
That's what I tried to do when Brad picked me up from the airport. He wouldn't let me do it. So
yeah, it was the kiss thing that I had a problem with.
Hey, Brad.
Letting him drive wasn't that bad.
You would never let Ryan drive.
You're right. You're right.
You'd be more likely okay with a kiss than letting him drive your car.
Like, what if I let you kiss me on the cheek? Then will you let me drive?
I thought I was driving for a good portion of that way home. And I thought, well, this car must be British or something because I'm sitting on this side, you know?
Press the horn.
This is when you came home from Japan.
And he was going, I'm like, wait a minute. This is a fake wheel. He tricked me. At least he let me kiss him.
All right, Brian. 6 years and counting. The YouTube live chat poll for today, which you can all hurry up and go get your vote in before we wrap it up here in about 7 minutes or so. It's a pretty resounding response. Is Joe Biden a good man? Yes or no? Brad, why don't you take this one first? Man, what do you think?
I struggled with this because I really want to think the best of people, but I can't get past how he treated Hunter Biden. Like, so I watched that special on Fox Nation, and as a parent, I was just looking at him saying, like, the way he talks about Bo, it was just obvious to me that he really treasured Bo Biden. And I couldn't help but look at Hunter Biden and see somebody who saw his dad praising his brother and feeling left out. You know, he left me whenever we were in the hospital to go be in the Senate, all of this other stuff. And everything that Hunter Biden has turned into, I just can't help but shake the feeling that it's because Joe Biden played favorites with his kids and really just wasn't there as a father. And I think as a father, no matter how hard you work, you got to be there for your kids. And so I end up voting no, he's not a good man.
Just like yesterday when we talked about Trump, we all approached it first from the biblical angle and say there is no one righteous, so you say no to that question. But when we said, okay, let's set that aside and just talk about sort of preference and what we think about the person, I said no to this question also because I'm basing it, you know, mostly on other people saying things about them, because I've never met either one of them. I don't know them personally, so I'm mainly looking at their policies to look at how they're affecting the country. And to me, one of the most compassionate things you can do is run things well if you're at the top. If you're running them well for everybody under you, that is a good thing to do. I don't think Joe Biden has done that well, and it's not just because he's losing his mind. I think it's because they have their priorities wrong. He has the wrong priorities for people and for the country. It is power-based. Therefore, I'm saying no to this question.
I think that's an interesting perspective. I'm trying to measure it in the same way that I measured it yesterday against Donald Trump. Because, you know, if I want Donald Trump to win the presidency, and I think being labeled a good man will help him win the presidency, the easy answer is like, yeah, he's a great man. He'd be great for looking.
Right.
But I mean, I understand that Donald Trump is a complicated person and he's very public in his life. We know a lot about the things that he has involved himself in, indiscretions that he's had. And, you know, ironically, all of these indiscretions from a political sense, Democrats loved him when he was participating in a lot of these affairs and that type of stuff. Like, Democrats at the top were a-okay with it. They're just not a-okay with a Republican being okay with a broken person because they apply a standard that they don't apply to themselves to the person who's doing the judging and saying that Donald Trump is a good man. So I think the reason why I said yesterday that Trump, I believe, to be a good man is based on anecdotes from people who know him well and who know him behind the scenes. So there's all the front stuff, but for the people who know him behind the scenes, Will Scharf was in studio with us yesterday. And if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can see the video where he says, do I think Donald Trump is a good man? I think Donald Trump is a great man. And then he explains in his own personal experience why he believes that. I trust Will Scharf. I value his input. And I value the input of many other people who I've talked. And the story is consistent each time. There's a quote out there about Julian Assange that somebody said, why don't you dig up any dirt on Donald Trump? Have you ever seen this? He said there isn't.
So.
He said there isn't any.
Oh,
I would like to see the clip of that. I want to see it like from his in his own words and not in a meme. To understand the veracity of it. I don't hear these same stories about Joe Biden. I don't hear these stories about generosity when it comes to Joe Biden, about compassion when it comes to Joe Biden. I hear about him not paying contractors who service his house. I've read on the Hunter Biden laptop text messages that have been exchanged or emails that have been exchanged where, to Brad's point, he has definite preferential treatment over his sons. And, you know, Hunter Biden's actions are going to affect the way a parent would react to the child, but it shouldn't really affect the way you feel about the child. I don't have much evidence that suggests that Joe Biden has ever been in anything if it wasn't to benefit himself. And there are two character traits that I have zero patience for. The first one is arrogance. And the second one is self-centeredness. When you're around people who very clearly everything that happens in their world, it's just about them. They never allow another person to be the important person in that conversation. They don't allow other people to have center stage. That everything inevitably always comes back to that one individual. And then when you're around them, you're treated to unending arrogance. I'm just like, without, like, the nicest thing I can do is just turn around and walk away and keep my facial expressions to myself. I'm just not interested in it. Maybe, I mean, I'm open to being wrong here, but I don't really see anybody who's just exhaustive on how good of a person Joe Biden is. And they really try to push how good of a caring father he is. And we have literal evidence that suggests otherwise. I mean, if the Ashley Biden diary was one of the Trump daughter's diary, it'd be gospel.
Oh, yeah. That is an absolute fact.
And we're just supposed to pretend it doesn't exist. The memory hole takes over. I mean, and that stuff is, I feel like it's godless. That all of it is godless. And when something feels godless, you have to remember there's always a God. It's either God or it's yourself. And that's the Joe Biden that I see. And again, I'd like to be wrong. I've said on this show many times that of all of the things that I disagree with Barack Obama, it seems like, and I know all the chit chat that's out there about these things today, the conspiracy theories, but it always seemed to me like Barack Obama was a loving father and a good father considering his high profile. And I think that Barack and Michelle seem to have a good marriage. And they've come out and said that they've had a lot of struggles, but a good marriage is not without struggles. I think Joe Biden is as shallow as they come, which is why I feel like the lack of memory Joe Biden that we see right now is a pretty empty vessel. Almost 300 votes in today's YouTube live chat poll. Is Joe Biden a good man? Yesterday we had, I think, 26% said Trump was not a good man. I think it was 26-74, 76-24. Today we've got 273 votes in. 90% of you said no, he's not a good man. Tomorrow is debate day. If you go to the description on today's YouTube video live broadcast of the show, you'll be able to click and reserve your Biden bingo card, especially for you folks here in St. Louis. We are excited to celebrate with you. If you aren't coming to the party, I'm going to put up the stream. Reserve your spot on the live stream. We'll be streaming it on the YouTube channel as well. Don't go away. Mark Reardon next.